Ball Spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to the Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour as we get into all kinds of stuff. We'll hit some college football topics at the end. Talk a little bit about OSU season, put a bow on that. More news from the portal yesterday concerning Oklahoma. This one seems like the first time we've heard it, and it's straight out of Mario Williams' mouth. He is a package. He's flat out said, I want to go wherever Caleb Williams goes. So what does that mean? Where will that be? I would imagine we'll find out here pretty quick. Obviously, the NIL is going to be a big topic throughout the offseason. How do you fix it? Can you fix it? We can kind of talk about that. NFL, 1 week left. There's an interesting scenario. Don't let me forget to tell you this. Have you seen what could happen in the AFC playoff chase?
No, I'm actually looking at the standings now, putting together my top five. I haven't seen the tiebreakers or scenarios. I haven't seen any of that, no.
Okay, so L.A., Chargers versus Raiders, I think that's going to be the Sunday night game, right? I believe it's the Sunday night game, the last game of the regular season. It is the one that's a win-and-you're-in scenario out of all of them.
Okay.
It's a win
Simple scenario,
win-and-you're-in. Except,
oh, there it is.
Except one thing that could make that, and I am rooting for this more than I may have ever rooted for anything in sports.
Would it make it where they both don't get in, or
no? They could both get in.
Get in
with the result from earlier that could lead to NBC flexing it in the middle of the day. Obviously you can't. But
no, that's funny.
I'll tell you what that is.
Okay,
high school hoops last night, some college hoops as well. That we can discuss right here at the top. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. And then whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime in. 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, you can stay in touch with the show a couple of different ways. You can log on to kadsam.com. Just hit the Listen Live tab, play button, boom, you're streaming that way. Or you can download the Paragon Communications app. The app has all three radio stations here in Elk City. It's got the Penny News attached to it. Brand new edition of the Penny News. Hit the website last night at midnight, thepennynews.com. Also, Big Elk TV, Paragon TV. Man, if there was ever a time to tune in to Big Elk TV and Paragon TV, Thursday is going to start one of those weeks as we've got all kinds of tournament action. I know you printed that stuff out. I forgot to bring it.
Yeah, there's adjustments there I'd have to tell you about.
But I was planning on kind of using that tomorrow. Since you're not going to be here, I was planning on just reading brackets all day long and being the worst show that we've ever done.
Well, I mean, if you want to – let me think about – I mean, I'll be setting up.
It doesn't matter.
Between 9 and 9:45. I might get there early enough and sit down and be on the phone with you if you want, maybe for a segment or
something.
Yeah,
maybe you do that.
Okay.
Anyway, we'll have tournament action, Big Elk TV, Paragon TV, and I'll tell you when that is tomorrow morning. That way you'll be ready to go with high school hoops all the way through Saturday for the first tournament week in January. Then we'll have another one of those coming up in a couple of weeks. Huge week for A and B schools in these tournaments, the ones right on the cusp of maybe that top eight ranking. This is it. Go win you a tournament and see what kind of bump that gives you with the rankings being locked on Monday for playoff. I think they're releasing the pairings next week through the OSSA website. So big week of basketball on Big Elk TV and also Paragon TV. Of course, if you miss the show entirely and go back, we got a podcast set up on iTunes and KADSAM.com. If you do the iTunes route, just subscribe, and you can be alerted when a new podcast drops. Well, Jared, I know you didn't miss a game last night because I saw a couple of folks that would have been where you were supposed to be in
I
a
made
couple
sure like more than once yesterday. We sure we didn't schedule something?
When I was asking you about what the scheduling was, you're like, I'm pretty sure I don't have a game. Well, I know you didn't. Otherwise, Canute would have struggled without a couple of their better players on the boys and the girls team that I saw in the gym at Elk
were
City.
They in the gym?
Yeah, how was your evening?
It was good. I was channel surfing Paragon, basically. I really was watching your games more than any others, but just to check, because the other games are kind of blowouts, you know. So, but did that, and man, opportunities there for Elk City. We'll get to that. Watched a really good movie last night.
What'd you watch?
I don't know why I started it. I started it too late, and then I had to finish it. I watched the new Ghostbusters.
Really?
You know Ghostbusters? Did you like Ghostbusters growing up?
Of course.
I bet Wyatt would love this movie. Does he like has he seen the original ones?
Not that I know of. He has seen Varsity Blues, which is the worst parenting mistake of our lives.
This is a lot better than that as far as content-wise for kids. Although there's some jump scares in there. But that's what makes Ghostbusters.
Uh-oh, wait a minute.
Ghostbusters fun.
There's like scary parts?
Well, it's like, duh! You know, and you're like, whoa, where'd that come from? You laugh, and there's a lot of humor in it. And, yeah, I don't want to give anything away. Great movie. My kid was like, oh, yeah, I want to watch it. I was like, listen, Katie, let me watch it first. And then, because...
Kind of see.
Yeah, and there's a couple parts where I just took note in my mind, like, all right, this is where I'm going to tell her to close her eyes.
Yeah.
But it is a great movie. Fun movie. Really nostalgic. Takes you back. It's straight in the vein of the original, the very first Ghostbusters.
With the Stave Puff Marshmallow Man.
It was basically a direct sequel from the very first one. Like, number two didn't even happen.
Oh, we got new Ghostbusters. Probably the best reboot ever.
It was awesome. Okay.
No kidding.
Who'd that come from?
Jeremy.
Awesome. Yeah, it was awesome. I couldn't stop it. And the one word, if I was like reviewing a movie, if I gave it a one-word review, it'd be fun.
See, it's interesting because growing up as a kid, my grandparents and Leedy, my dad's parents, they operated a convenience store there south of town, mm-hmm. right at the exit, or right at the junction of the highway, 47 and 34?
Yeah, I know it.
But there for a little bit, they would rent movies, you know, when that was a thing.
Yeah.
VHS tapes. And so, you know, I've seen Ghostbusters, the original, a time or two, but I wore out Ghostbusters 2. Like, I've seen that one way more with the painting and the crazy guy that sort of Fabio-ish back in the day.
That pink goo stuff.
Yeah. And so,
it was fun. I mean, some people don't like it, but I thought it was good.
But still, I mean, so that's interesting. We'll have to check that out.
Oh, it was really fun. Really fun. You know what's cool about it? It takes place in a fictional town in Oklahoma.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, they didn't film it in Oklahoma. I went that far and looked, but it's supposed to be in a small town in Oklahoma.
Now, haven't there been some films recently actually filmed here in Oklahoma?
It's booming. The film industry. I think there's one over in Sayre.
Yeah, that guy came by. What was that? Yeah. He's supposed to be in touch with us.
Yeah.
Yeah, at the Flying W Ranch,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, maybe we get some cameos in that. Wherever they're filming.
Man. I'm going to have to trim up my beard. Going to have the scraggly look.
They're filming Martin Scorsese's filming a movie. We're wrapping it up over in Osage County.
Is that the one where Leo mm-hmm. has been in the state? Yeah. Okay.
Killers of the Flower Moon, based on a book, on a true story.
That's
I need to read that book before that movie comes out, because I'm really looking forward to that movie.
You know, normally, a state such as this, with the, let's just say, the political leanings... That
people would
state,
avoid it.
Yeah, well, those people normally avoid that.
Money talks, and there's some good incentives if you come film in Oklahoma.
Well, fantastic.
There's some good the tax write-offs. I don't know the ins and outs of it. That movie, American Underdog, that's out right now.
Oh, about Kurt Warner?
That was filmed right here.
Was it really?
Yes, and what's cool, I've seen some stuff, and they're filming the scenes when he was in arena football.
Yeah.
You know where they film the arena football stuff?
Where?
In the Big House.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah. You could.
I was going to guess Lazy E.
No, right there in the Big House. And then I've seen back behind-the-scenes stuff. They threw up a bunch of green screen stuff. So I think they'll do more of the action stuff. They did most of that right inside there.
So will you be able to tell it's the Big House?
Absolutely. I've seen, the seatings.
Now, see, that's a movie. I'll tell you what.
And there's some angles. Like, I think I've sat there and called a couple basketball games.
It's kind of like when you played a golf course and then it's the PGA Tour goes there.
Yeah.
You're like, you see him from the fairway and you're like trying to
suddenly you're smarter than the golfer.
You see, like, way over there behind him in that trees. That's where I was.
Yeah, it. So yeah, Oklahoma's filming some stuff.
It's interesting you bring that movie up, The American Underdog, because that's. I'll be honest with you. I'm trying to think of the last time I went to the movie theater.
Well, before pre-pandemic, I went a lot. Usually, it was in off season of football in the spring. I'd go on a Sunday afternoon, but you know, I just mentioned, you know, what is it? A couple weeks ago, I went to a Spider-Man movie. First time since COVID.
I don't know. Okay, how did the order? There was a couple of years where there were some kids that were much younger than me, much, much younger than me. Matter of fact, their parents are like my age. So for their birthday, there was like three families involved in this. And for their birthday, these kids' birthday, they would rent the movie theater on like a Saturday morning.
Good idea.
And the cost of admission was to bring like canned goods, and then they donated them to the food bank.
Well, look at that.
Because they didn't want any. They're like, hey, listen, we don't need toys, whatever. Yeah. Da da da.
Well, that's awesome.
And you know that I went there 2 years in a row to this birthday party for these little kids, and these little kids are now in high school. but I think the last time I went to the movie theater that I can absolutely remember going, you know what it is to see? Rogue One. That's how long it's been.
Oh, that's a great movie, too.
That's how long it's been.
Yeah, that's been a while. You know, I know I've said this. When COVID first hit and we spent a lot of time at home, I basically built a little theater up in our attic, you know. So there was a lot of that going on, like going upstairs with pillows and blankets and throwing a movie on the projector. We'd take up a bunch of popcorn. That was fun. And my kid, Katie, this morning, she's like, well, how was the movie? I said, it's good. She goes, can I watch it? I was like, well, yeah, I think you can. I said, how about this? How about Saturday night when I get home from wherever I'm at, whatever time it is, and I'll be home enough time. I think. Hopefully not. Hopefully Knute's playing in some championship games. But her sister, James, is going to go to her first sleepover.
Oh, dear.
So I said, listen, it's just you and me. So let's... We can watch it. And she was like, well, why don't we just go upstairs and watch it? I like the way you're thinking. So if we can do that, let's do that. So we'll see.
Well, it sounds like fantastic.
Yeah. I recommend the movie. I give it two thumbs up.
I may stop by coming home from Hinton. Nobody's going to be at my house. So.
Come on. Bring your own popcorn. I'm kidding. We'll provide the popcorn.
I'll tell you what. Don't get me to bring our popcorn maker over.
Is it one that's you? It has the wheel thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. We got one of those. My mother-in-law has one of those. And
what do you put in it? The popcorn.
Well, it has the butter and just that whole package thing. We just dump in there.
Package thing.
No. You know what I'm talking about. It's not like a package you put in a microwave.
Oh, I know.
It has
put
the
actual
butter
kernels.
And the kernels and all that stuff.
You don't. You need to talk to my wife. You're not doing it right. I'm telling you right now, you're not doing it right.
It tastes like I'm doing it right.
You need to. I'm telling you, the best popcorn of all time is made in the kitchen.
I didn't anticipate coming to work being told I make popcorn wrong.
I'm not saying you're doing it wrong. I'm saying you're not doing it exactly right. Does that make sense?
I guess. Everybody's a critic.
Well, it's the movies, isn't it? People build a brand off of being critics of movies.
Yeah, it's true. That's the best part about going to the movies, though, is the popcorn.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the thing. I'm not... Probably could figure out where I went to go to the movies around here, but I went.
So you're
and
trying
they were out of popcorn.
So you're trying to make it like the movie popcorn.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's a different story.
That smell and the buttery and all that. Yeah.
That's a different story then. That's not my wife is trying to make popcorn absolutely as healthy as it can possibly be, yet tasty, yet very very tasty. Jared, don't knock it till you tried it. It's delicious. It's all about that little wheel that spins around.
Speaking of food and not tasting good, you know, it's the new year and diets. Do you think your wife can get with my wife about some recipes and
that
taste good but are still healthy? I'm walking a dangerous path here.
Yeah, I'll have my people get with the people on that one. I'm going to avoid that at all costs. I really don't know what to say.
Just say I'm hungry.
That won't
right
get either one of us in trouble.
Let's just say I'm hungry.
Well, that's the way it goes. You know, wait, never mind. Okay. Let's move on. Let's move High on. School hoops Please. Last night. right here in Elk City, Anadarko. Both teams came in ranked in the top 20. The Lady Warriors, number 6 in 4A at 5-1. And quite frankly, it started out a lot like the last time we saw the Elkettes when Kingfisher was in town. It was 13-0 right off the bat, 19-5 at the end of the first quarter. And midway through the second quarter, it was 28-10, and it just kind of looked like one of those games, again, where the Elk City offense just couldn't figure it out, couldn't take care of the ball. Katie Cantrell for Anadarko went nuts with 20 in the first half, including banking in a three right inside the half line as the halftime buzzer sounded. But at 28-10, it was like something clicked, and all of a sudden, the Elkettes' defensive pressure really ramped up. They knocked in a couple of shots. No, Yarbrough hit a three to make it 28-13. Then they got a steal and a couple of free throws. And all of a sudden, the Elkettes were kind of whittling back into the game. And then in the third quarter, they outscored Anadarko 9-0. And then they're right back in it.
That was crazy to hold them scoreless in an entire quarter.
You know, Cantrell got in foul trouble after having 20 in the first half. She had to sit with four fouls about 2.5 minutes into the third and didn't return. The only problem, I think, for the Elkettes, yeah, it was nice to outscore them 9-0 in the third. That needed to be like 15 because that would have forced Coach Graham of Anadarko to get her back out there sooner, which might have been able to foul her out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The Elkettes just didn't quite get back into it fast enough to really make him have a choice. You know, once she got back out there early in the time that she was playing, Elk City went right at her, and she turned her back. And then they got two layups off of it because she was trying not to commit fifth foul. Really smart by, I think it was Yarbrough, and then maybe Abby Joe. I can't remember who the other one that laid it in. But anyhow, it was a three-point game with, what, 2:35 left. Elk City with two free throws coming by one of their better free throw shooters, freshman Abby Brown. She missed them both. Anadarko got it back. They went and scored. And then kind of the sequence that was the backbreaker, Kaylin Burton had an open three in the corner. It was dead on line. It was just a skosh long. I mean, it was one of those that hit the back of the rim. It didn't skip across. It bounced straight up, caught the rim again, didn't go in. Anadarko got the rebound, and Ashlyn Jackson poured one in from the right wing from three. And all of a sudden, instead of a two-point game, if Kaylin's goes in, it's an eight-point game after Anadarko hit the three, and that was it. So 47-37, Anadarko pulled away, and they scored the last seven to defeat the Elkettes by 10. Much better performance. They've played their tails completely off. Burton was everywhere defensively, on the glass, tips. Delasia Martin was that way as well before she kind of popped her shoulder out of joint there on a play where she was looking to get a steal. Yarbrough and Abby Brown were the catalyst on offense. Wiley had 12, Abby 11, and it's kind of they're similar players that we've never seen before in a brown and white uniform. Wiley's a senior, hasn't been on the squad till this year, and then Abby's a freshman, right? And so it's kind of weird to see that your two main scoring threats that different in age, yet we don't know much about either one of them, you know, because they haven't been out there much. But promising performance, I thought, by the Elkettes as they move in. They play Newcastle first in the Hinton Invitational. That game was one of the tougher ones last year to watch. Neither team played very well in that game here at Elk City. So
who is in that tournament?
Christian Heritage, Community Christian, Elk City, Fort Cobb, Hinton.
It's like a good tournament. Hinton Boys are like
Hinton
fifth.
Hinton Boys.
In what, 2A?
Yeah, 2A. Christian Heritage is the one seed. On the girls' side, Christian Heritage is one. Community Christian is two. Elk City's three. And visiting with Coach Ham, he would have flipped Community and Christian Heritage at the 1 and 2. But, you know, I asked him who's the best team. He said, I'll tell you what, if we play like that, we are. So that's promising there. On the boys' side, it's back and forth. It was a fun game for three quarters until the flow was just taken completely away by whistles. Man, I can't stand when that happens, right? I mean, there's just great flow through the first half. You know, it was more of a defensive game because both teams were guarding, but it was flowing really nicely throughout and most of the third quarter. And then all of a sudden, it's choppy and neither team can kind of figure out what to do, right? I mean, It's just like all of a sudden everything changed in what was happening in the first half, wasn't allowed in the second, and then it was just like a parade to the free throw line in the fourth quarter. And give Anadarko credit on their boys. 11 of 13 from the free throw line in the fourth quarter, just held the Elks at bay. Elk City, you know, both teams had three in double figures. Dunlap had 14, 10 of those in the first half. Kai Keyes was more spread out, 5 in the first, 6 in the second half, and then Cole Bowie is the same way. He was kind of 5 and 5. But you see this trend growing for the Elks to me, and that is you're playing well. You're in games against good teams. Darko, I think, was 16 and 4A going into the game last night. Well-coached, obviously, with Coach Shumpert down there. He's done it forever, and he's done it the right way and really well forever. But you're right in these games, and I think there's one thing that's a little bit concerning for the Elks developing, and that is I don't know if they have anybody. They need somebody to go get a bucket and stop a run, right, or keep them right there in arm's length, you know, at that 4 to 5 down instead of 9 to 10. I don't know who that is yet, and they don't either. And so it's like it's not really hot potato, but everybody's kind of looking at the other one going, okay, who's going to do it?
Yeah.
And nobody does. And so I think that's something that Coach Stevens and the guys are going to have to work through to figure out. Now, in the offense, you know, it works really great, like, for three quarters, right, because everybody's moving the ball. The guy that's open's taking the shot. But once the other defense starts really clamping down, you know, you need somebody to either go get fouled and shoot free throws or go get a bucket.
Right.
And the Elks just haven't figured out who that is just yet. And so we'll see how that matures. They've got Fort Cobb in the first game tomorrow, so that'll be a pretty stern test. So those are the 4 and 5 seeds. Whoever wins that probably gets Hinton on Friday night in the semifinals. So that's a couple of pretty good tests there on both sides for the Elkettes and the Elks coming into the Hinton Invitational. Small schools last night, you probably watched – well, I know you watched more than I did. But like you said, outside of one game, it looks like it was blowout city throughout Western Oklahoma. Cheyenne Raiden on the girls' side, 50-21 winners over Eric. The one really good game, I watched the end of that just a little bit ago, was Cheyenne Raiden beating Eric 44-42. Bearcats had a couple of chances late to take the lead. A floater in the lane missed. Cheyenne got the rebound, made 1 of 2 free throws. Then Eric gets called for a charge right in the middle of the lane. It essentially ended the game. So the Bears beat the Bearcats by 2. Arapahoe Butler blew out Sweetwater in both, 61-28 and 76-39. Merritt won the girls' game 60-29 over Fort Cobb. The boys for Fort Cobb won 55-41. And then Hammond blew out Corn Bible twice, 62-21 on the girls' side, 64-36 on the boys. I'm excited to see some results from this weekend and how, you know, Leedy didn't play, Canute didn't play last night. And everybody's going to tournaments that have a really good field, it feels like. So this is going to be a fun couple of days here on the high school basketball hardwood.
It really is. I can't get a beat or a feeling on how anyone's going to do. You know what I mean? Because of the field that each tournament produces. And I knew personally going in when I saw Canute was going to go to the ceiling tournament, the Ward Center Classic, without even looking at the bracket, I knew that was going to attract some really good teams, and it has. There's in teams that you don't normally see, and that's the great thing about tournaments is you're playing up against teams that you're seeing teams you don't normally see on a week-to-week basis in your regular season. And so going up there, you get teams like Drummond, Arnett, familiar with a little bit, top of my head, trying to think, Fargo, I mean, even a team out of the Panhandle that, you know, and a lot of ranked teams out of most amount of Class A and B. You know, the Merritt tournament looks really good. I was looking at that bracket yesterday with the field that's going to be there, mainly a lot of 2A schools. And
Western Equipment's always good.
Mentioned the Hinton tournament, what's going to be there. The Western Equipment looks really good. So I'm with you. I'm anxious to, you know, see how the tournament I'm going to be covering, how that results, how those look. And throughout Western Oklahoma and the area with all these tournaments that are happening this weekend and who comes out on top and how do they look, how they look doing it. Because, again, we mentioned this yesterday, it's that final push to impress to get those potential votes to and some teams are right on the cusp of getting into that top eight, and a stumble, if someone just looks on paper and says, well, they went 1 and 2, I'm going to not vote them that high. But if they go 1 and 2 by the, hair of your chinny chin chin, you know, so, hey, man, we're good enough to be in the top eight. We just lost because of a bad whistle or because of a bad shot that just didn't fall. So it's going to be really interesting come Saturday night how everything shakes out.
Here's a team, thanks on the text line, because I certainly missed this. Here's a team in Class B girls that got that started a couple of days early. O'Keen went to Lomega and knocked off number one last night, 39-34.
O'Keen.
So O'Keen is 12th at 7-1 in Class B on the girls' side, and they have a road win. Not a home win, a road win at Lomega to their credit last night.
It's impressive.
It's very impressive. So that's a team that's already starting this out, trying to figure out a way to jump up into that top eight.
Yeah.
It's going to be good stuff. Last night's college hoops, couple of good efforts by the state schools, but a couple of losses as Oklahoma went down to Waco, and number one Baylor pulled away at the end. 84-74 is the win there for the Bears. I think I saw, 77-72, a five-point game with like 50 seconds left, and then
they would get it Baylor within five and six multiple times, but they just couldn't get over that hump. It's about rhythm for me. I couldn't – and it doesn't – and, you know, everyone's going to use this as an excuse at some point. It just didn't help when they didn't have three of their guys on Saturday night, and then you get them back. And that, for me, that tells me there's rhythm wasn't really there. I'm talking about the Groves boys and Cortez. But we were talking off air. I mean, Cortez, I know he only had six, but he looks the part.
Yeah, he does.
As he's just a obviously true freshman straight out of Kingfisher. He looks like, yeah, he can play at this level, and it almost looks like he's holding back a little bit. You know, like
he's just fitting in.
Not so much scared, but like, you know, I'm going to take as much time to get acclimated. Well, you know, we're in league play now. So I think the kid has incredible upside. Can't wait to watch him grow.
OU was hammered on the boards, 34-18. Oklahoma only had four rebounds in the first half. That is an unbelievable number, right?
And not to be blown
out. 34-60.
They were, down 10?
Yeah, it's crazy to only get four rebounds in a half of basketball. And then the other glaring spot was three-point shooting. Baylor 6 of 14, the Sooners 5 of 20. Free throw line was fairly even, both upwards of 80%. But the Sooners just pounded on the glass and not able to cash in on a three or two that kept them from being able to win that game down in Baylor. And, oh, by the way, Baylor's really good.
They're really good.
20 straight wins. It's the third longest streak in Big 12 history, which is saying a lot, considering some of the teams that have rolled through the Big 12 throughout the years. Up in Stillwater, Oklahoma State put up a fight against Kansas. I mean, you talk about not knowing what to expect. They hadn't played since December the 18th because all of the COVID stuff and then the break and all that. So that's a huge layoff to consider, almost a month for the Cowboys. They came out first half really, really good defensively. At one point in the game, they forced Kansas to miss 18 straight shots. Unbelievable. But as the game wore on, Kansas figured it out. They shoot 70% in the second half, and they go on to win 74-63. But here's what the takeaway is to me in the Big 12 and in this conference. You're going to have so many chances to be able to beat good teams because they are a lot of those in the 10-team Big 12. I was looking at Joe Lenardi's bracketology yesterday. He's got seven of nine, and because OSU can't make it, right? So essentially seven of nine teams available. And it just, you look at both teams' schedules, and, man, you've got these stretches where you're playing really good teams night after night after night. So right now OU went to number one Baylor. They've got number 11 Iowa State in Lloyd Nobles on Saturday. Then they go down to Austin to number 14 Texas next Tuesday. That's just a three-gamer. They can get a lot longer than that with the conference schedules. You know, OSU, they missed the Tech game, which they're top 25. Kansas 6, and then they go to Texas on Saturday. So lots of really good teams in this league and lots of good chances to get quality victories.
Oh, yeah. And weekend or day in, day out, night in, night out, it's going to be a grind. And that's a compliment of how tough this conference is. And there's always that question of, I know it's really incredibly early, but as far as getting into league play and conference play, typically the SEC has owned the football, obviously, and then it's always kind of up for grabs, like who has the best conference in basketball? There's been talk of the SEC with some really good teams, but You talk about the Big 12. If you don't come ready, I mean, the Kansas States, who sits, what, last right now, I know they've only played, what, one, two league games, but they're capable of beating you on any given night.
Yeah, and I think as the league has gotten deeper with good teams, not just kind of the middle being pretty good, but not necessarily, but as the league has gotten a little bit deeper with more elite-type teams, I think you're starting to see that in the NCAA tournament equate to success. You know, for a long time, it was kind of Kansas and then draw a line down to other teams. That's not the case right now. Baylor is every bit as good as anybody in the country, and by the way, has been for 3 or 4 years now. I mean, the tournament that got canceled because of COVID in 2020, we might be sitting here talking about, man, can Baylor win their third in a row?
Right.
Because they were one of the very best teams 2 years ago. Obviously won it last year and number one in the country right now. So I think that's helped Big 12 teams, you know, because for the longest time, if Kansas, you know, OU popped up every now and then, Texas would pop up, OSU would pop up into the Final Four, but unable to win at all until KU did it back in, what, 2008. But since then, it feels like you've had teams right on the cusp more often, and it's not just Kansas. You know, Tech played for it. Baylor won it. So, there, you know, there's some a lot more, I think, elite teams in the Big 12 than there was, even though the league's been pretty good throughout. I think it's kind of the golden age of Big 12 basketball right now with the way that this league is playing and the teams that are able to, you know, you lose Colorado, Nebraska, and you gain West Virginia. You know, they're always a pretty good team.
And you think when TCU came in, when they came in, it's like, yeah, they'll be a nice addition on the football field, but the rest of the sports, baseball is going to be really good for them. But basketball, what's TCU ever done in basketball? Well, when they went and hired Jamie Dixon, he's turned them around. Every team in the Big 12 with a winning record.
Yeah, and
eight out of 10 with 11 or more wins. That goes back to what I said. You better be ready each and every night.
Yeah, and you feel like if OSU and Kansas State would have played enough games, they would have them. You know what I mean? With Oklahoma State not being able to play a few of teams they would have beaten.
Yeah.
Everybody might be in that case where they've all got 10 wins. So, yeah, it's a fantastic conference. There's no doubt about that. All right, so at the NFL, over the weekend, there were a couple of major storylines. I think one of those got rectified yesterday, and that's been a year-long storyline in Cleveland, and that's Baker Mayfield. Listen, he's had a terrible year considering what he needed to have contract-wise to kind of stamp his place in Cleveland. That's completely up in the air. I'm not 100% sold, even though he is under contract next year because they did finalize that option for the fifth year. I'm not 100% sure that Cleveland's convinced that's the right way to go. I think if somebody dangled the right trade out in front of them, I think they would absolutely snatch it up, in my mind, to get off of that. And, you know, I think Baker only has himself to blame on this, and because – he kind of had a built-in excuse after stumbling out of the blocks. And that was, hey, I tore my non-throwing shoulder. But he continued to play. And when he continued to play, he continued to play poorly. And now you're starting to hear rumblings out of there that, well, of course that harness was affecting his mechanics. Which, it kind of makes sense because if there's one thing that Baker Mayfield always was, it was pinpoint accurate. So something has to change. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it's just the injury. That can have to do with confidence. I thought that they made a good point on the Manning cast. Did you hear that conversation with Peyton and Eli?
No.
They were talking about how small he is. And so because he's so small, he has a hard time seeing, and that makes him have to try to throw it harder. And when the harder you throw it, the less accurate you get. And they kind of talked about the throw he threw to Landry in that Green Bay game where he just sailed it over his head for an easy pick for the safety behind. I think that makes a lot of sense when you think about it. And, you know, can he be athletic enough to kind of move around outside the pocket and be able to throw on the run or get set and throw dimes
like
we're so used to seeing?
Yeah, it made him so good in college was his scrambling ability. And then I thought his best plays, design plays, were when you'd roll that pocket. You know what I mean? Play action, roll it, and throw it on the run. That's what he did so well. That's hard to do all the time in the NFL.
Well,
you want to be a drop back guy, and height and size has something to do with that.
Question is, how tall is Kyler? Well, here's the difference. Kyler Murray is a A-plus athlete.
Yeah.
A-plus athlete.
Right.
Baker Mayfield is not. And I think he had enough athleticism like you're talking about in college to kind of scramble around against that. But the athletes are better in the NFL. They just are. And he's not able to make some of the plays that, like you're talking about, scrambling around and getting away like he was in college, whereas Murray's still doing it. And, you know, I understand, but watch the way that they try to play the game. It's totally different. Mm-hmm. You know, even against Dallas, Murray, if he was throwing over the middle, it seemed like it was always on the move, right? Or at least taking a couple steps one way or the other to create those windows. If he was standing in the pocket, it was fades down the sideline.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. And you don't necessarily have to be able to see that great just to throw it 30 yards down the field on the sideline and let your receiver try to go up and make a catch or toast the guy at the line of scrimmage. And I think that's the – when the windows shrink in the middle of the field, that's where the size thing matters, and that's where being able to kind of move around and create the windows for yourself to see and to throw through matter. And that's where Murray can and Baker can. He's not as good an athlete as Kyler Murray, not even close. And I don't know if he's as good an athlete as what we thought he was at OU, if that makes sense. Because you're right. He made a bunch of plays with his legs. Now that everybody else is faster and bigger and stronger – those plays aren't happening. And so I think it's going to be interesting as can be in Cleveland this offseason what they decide to do. Do they give him another chance, or is he going to be looking – are they looking to trade him? And if they are looking to trade him, where does he have a chance to succeed?
Quick reply, what do you think happens? Like, what is your gut feeling?
It doesn't it seem like it's falling apart there? It does to me. You know, he and Stefanski – you know, don't necessarily seem quite on the same page as they were last year.
Yeah.
You know, I think the one thing Jake Trotter brought this up with Mark yesterday, who's the one always answering the questions? It's always Baker. So he's got to be looking around like, where the hell is everybody else? I'm having to answer every Odell question. I'm having to answer every question about this, every question about that. Where is the rest of the organization at? It's almost like they're kind of hanging him out to dry. And the way he is – and with the thing that makes him great is also the thing that gets him in trouble in these situations. And that's where he wants to put everything on his shoulders. He has belief in himself that he can do it. And so he takes that responsibility on. And then when he says the wrong thing, he gets hammered. And that kind of creates more and more separation. I don't know that he'll be there again. I really don't. Now, I have no idea where he would go. I think it depends on who Cleveland can get in there. And
yeah.
Who would want to trade for him.
Right.
But the good news,
I think there are some desperate teams that would want him because they'd help sell tickets and all that stuff. But what, as far as the right fit for him, that will have to take some sit down and looking at to figure out.
Well, and the problem is
Someone coasted the idea to me, Houston, would they be in the market for a quarterback like him? Because they're kind of in a PR recovery mode, depending on what they do with Watson or whatever happens with him. Do they get a guy like Baker there to like, all right, let's get this fiery guy, kind of rehash our image here, but does it fit? That's the question.
Well, and here's the problem with that fiery guy stuff. That works well when you're winning the Heisman Trophy and leading a team to the playoff in college football. It doesn't work when you're 7-9 in the NFL. Those guys just look at you and say, shut up.
Yeah, but if he can go to Houston and put him in, you know, this late in the season, still in playoff contention, it's a lot better than what they have, but...
Oh, it's a hell of a lot better than what Cleveland ever had before he got there, but nobody cares now.
That's the thing to me.
I think, you know, the problem.
Look at where they were before he got there, and now where they're at now. That's what kind of like. Listen, you want to? I get it. He's how he's performed on field. I totally get it. But remember what it was like before Cleveland.
Yeah, but the problem for that is that's great the first year, but here we are in year four, and guess what? They're exactly the same spot.
Right.
Now, obviously, last year was a good year. It was kind of a up on the curve. But when you look at his 4 years, yes, he turned them into a team that can win some games the first year, but there hasn't been any improvement through year four. They're right back where they were, and I understand that's better than what they were,
yeah.
But there's no improvement there. And so how in the world, if I'm a Cleveland fan, I get it because I'm like, wait a minute, we're not getting any better. And it looks like the talent around him has gotten better. So what's the problem? And it's easy to zero in on the quarterback. There's no doubt about that. They get the most love when things go well, even if sometimes they don't deserve it. And they get the most hate when things don't go well, even if they don't deserve all of that either. That's just the nature of the beast in playing quarterback in the NFL. And I think driving home, I heard some guys talking about Baker Mayfield specifically, and I thought this was exactly right. The Baker lovers have too much love. and the Baker haters have too much hate. But yeah. He's just a polarizing guy like that. His actual play is somewhere in the middle of all that. He's not near as bad as people think. He's not near as good as some others think.
Right.
He's right there in the middle. And that's really kind of purgatory in the NFL, to be honest with you, when your quarterback is just kind of that guy. And that's what he is.
Well, it doesn't help that the hottest quarterback is in your same division.
That's the next thing I was about to say. And then Cleveland fans look around and go, damn.
Like right down the road.
Joe Burrow's pretty good. Yeah. I mean, that dude, he's in his second year. Look at him. And compare him to ours. It's not a comparison.
Right.
And then you look down a little further in your division, and you've got a former MVP in Lamar Jackson in the same division. And then you're thinking, okay, the Steelers have to get somebody new. But they've had a pretty good track record of figuring out who the quarterback should be when you look at their history of their organization. So are we about to have the worst quarterback in the division? Depending on what Pittsburgh does, it sure looks like it's possible.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of Pittsburgh, Mike Tomlin, what an unbelievable record. That's now 15 seasons at 500 and better to start a career. The most of all time. He broke a tie with Marty Schottenheimer there. Just, you know, the Steelers, like Jim says, they're terrible. And they really are. Yet they find ways to win.
I mean, that starts with the coach, absolutely.
And just the organization and the culture that's there. I mean, the difference between Pittsburgh and Cleveland and that dynamic could not be more different.
Oh, yeah.
And the one thing I will say positive toward Baker is he went in there and he tried to change it. And I think compared to what it was, I think he's done that. But there is part of me that wonders, okay, if he can get out of Cleveland and get out of that stench of that organization that's always been there, right? I mean, it has been for the better part of 50 years. Will he thrive? That's the one thing of, you know, he brought Cleveland to a certain level, get out of there and see how that works. The numbers don't say you can, but you just wonder if maybe that doesn't help him out a little bit. Other things around the NFL, don't you think, shouldn't Aaron Rodgers have wrapped up the MVP?
Feels like it.
Do you think he will? I read an article yesterday. The reason why I bring this up, I read an article yesterday about a guy that has a vote, not going to vote for him. You know why?
Because of the off-field stuff.
Because he thinks he's a jerk and he's not vaccinated.
That's ridiculous.
How many of those you think that are out there? We know the sports media is
absolutely
crazy with this stuff. Peter King, guarantee you he's on that boat.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's sad because the numbers show you that he is MVP caliber. He has been the best player in this league this year.
You know,
but because of some personal vendetta, they're not going to vote for him? Get out of here with that. That's ridiculous to me.
39-13 is the
record.
Listen,
we didn't have to like Vince Young because of the colors he wore, but he was the best player that year, and he should have won the Heisman, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, but dang sure after the Rose Bowl was over.
But I don't like him because he wore burnt orange. I didn't like him because of his off-field stuff. I didn't know of any off-field stuff, not until after he left Texas. But you see what I'm saying? That's ridiculous to keep Rodgers out of your ballot, off your ballot, because of a personal decision that has nothing to do with how he plays on the field.
Yeah, I think it's going to be
that's the world we live in.
Yeah, it's – I think he's going to win it. But probably not how he should. All right, real quick, top five, bottom three.
My top five, Green Bay. I think they're the best team right now. Kansas City took a slip last week, but they're still, I think, the favorite in the AFC. Buffalo is rising. Stock is rising for me with them. I like the Rams at number four. And the Bengals have entered my top five. They've knocked out the Cowboys with how they look. That offense was bad. But the Bengals, I think they look really good. They got to fix that defense a little. I know it was Kansas City, but that defense is kind of a liability. But I like Joe Burrow a lot.
Yeah, I got Dallas, Cincinnati, Arizona, and Buffalo just outside. They're all kind of in the same group to me. Green Bay 1, I've got Tampa 2, just because they've got Tom Brady and nobody else does. I've got the Rams 3, a team that we haven't talked about in weeks. You know who the best team in the AFC is record-wise?
The Titans?
The Tennessee Titans. And guess what? It looks like it's going to be all systems go for that freak show that is Derrick Henry. And awesome. And think about this. He's going to have like 2 months less wear and tear on his body. I'm going to go Tennessee 4 and Kansas City 5.
I debated Tennessee. I didn't know if that was fool's gold or not. You know what I mean?
I think they've got the best wins of anybody. Yeah. If you go back and look in that stretch, and then with getting him back and not having to take the punishment that he didn't have to take because of that foot injury.
Yeah.
Problem is, their quarterback's still Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
It'd be hard to pick them to win it all. But they're rolling right now. Going over some scenarios for who's going to play their guys off the air, who's not. Yeah, if you're Dallas, you play Saturday, you got to win that game.
Still playing. There's no resting involved because there's still, like you said, an opportunity for the 2 seed.
Opportunity for 2 seed. And even more than that to me, now you'd have to get a bunch of stuff go your way. Well, the Rams would have to lose and Tampa would have to lose. Let's see. Who do they play? Is it Rams Niners? Is that right? I'm pretty sure it's Rams Niners. And that's a game. It is Rams Niners Saturday, Sunday afternoon. And then Carolina and Tampa Bay. So you probably don't get Tampa losing that game.
Don't see that.
You're hoping Rams. Man, the loss last week pretty well dropped you out of the 2 seed. But stranger things have happened. But if you can win that game and hope a couple teams lose, then you could end up being the 2. But more important than the 2, maybe, is not being the 4. Because the 4th seed is going to have to play either the Rams or the Cardinals. Whereas if you can move up to the 3rd, then you get a combination of one of Philly, San Fran, or even the Saints. That's a lot better. That sounds a lot better in your mind, right, than Rams or Cardinals. So I think Dallas playing everybody Saturday, trying to win that game, and then see how the chips fall after that. Interesting scenario, though, on the AFC side. So I mentioned Chargers and Raiders Sunday night. That's a win and you're in game. But if Jacksonville can beat Indy, which seems like not much of a possibility until I tell you that, by the way, Indianapolis hasn't won in Jacksonville since 2014. So if Jacksonville can beat Indy, a tie between the Chargers and Raiders gets them both in. And Jacksonville and Indy play at noon on Sunday. Chargers Raiders is the Sunday nighter. So
is that the article I saw where both teams would
just take knees? Yeah. How awesome would that be?
I saw the headline. My gosh. I was like, what are we talking about? I just scrolled on past it. That's the scenario.
That's it. If Jacksonville beats Indy, then a tie between the Chargers and Raiders gets them both into the playoffs. How furious would NBC be if they literally agreed to tie?
Yeah,
I mean they're division mates. They wouldn't see each other in the first round. You know what I'm saying?
Imagine going to the game.
Oh,
imagine
your first time
ticket.
You ever get to go to
the
stadium in Vegas.
Hey, little Johnny, we're gonna go to your first football game. We're gonna see the big boys pop some pads, and then all of a sudden.
I mean, I don't think there's any way.
It's a pillow fight.
I don't think there's any way they literally take victory for it.
At the back of their mind, like, hey, listen, we're gonna have a glorified scrimmage, and when you get it to the 10, we'll let you waltz in.
I was gonna say the other way. If Indy does lose to Jacksonville, take the under. I don't know what the under in Raiders Chargers is.
Come up with some agreement. Go, listen, no punts, no field goals. Go for
and tie
and tie every time.
And tie. We have to tie.
I wonder. They don't want to get hurt.
No.
No one wants to get hurt.
No, but you want to make it look better than just taking knees.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
That'd be so exciting.
That'd be interesting to see. All right. Go Jaguars.
I know. I want to see it happen so bad.
Go Jaguars.
Oh, I'd love to see what would happen.
Oh, man.
If that was the case. Gosh, I may have never root for anything more in my life.
I know
the Jaguars winning just to see the result.
Come on, Jaguars!
Of Raiders,
this is your Super
Chargers.
Bowl.
It is.
This Here's is your the only chance to end this horrible season with the controversy and all that stuff. Losing your coach in the middle of the year, you can end your season on a positive note.
The only problem with this whole scenario, you know what happens if the Jags win?
What happens?
they probably don't get the number one pick.
Yeah.
They can't fall further than two.
Yeah, if they get the third win of the year, you're probably looking at Detroit.
Because Detroit's 2-13-1. So that tie gives Jacksonville the one pick, the number one pick right now.
Right. Yep. Good point.
So that kind of – maybe that ruins that. But here's the deal. It looks like you're gonna take either Thibodeau or Aiden Hutchinson, one or two. So maybe you can get an Odin Durant situation where you let Detroit draft one of them and you take the other.
Yeah. It seems like either one of those guys would be a solid pick.
Yeah.
Either way.
Come on, Jacksonville, do it. Win one for the Gipper. Win one for Herb.
Yeah.
Show Urban what he's missing.
Yeah. I'm sure Herb is okay.
All right, we'll have tons of high school hoops to talk about tomorrow with multiple tournaments getting started on a Thursday afternoon all across western Oklahoma, central Oklahoma. It's everywhere across the state of Oklahoma. Have a great Wednesday. It's going to be cold tomorrow, so bundle up when you walk out the door.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.